assembled in New Dwarka to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Today we're beginning a new chapter, is that correct? Chapter number 27, attack by Chandavega on the city of King Puranjana, the character of Kalakanya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narada Uvacha Itang Puranjanam Sadvryag Vashamaniya Vibramai Puranjani Maharaja Reme Ramayati Patim Narada Uvacha Itang Puranjanang Sadriyag Itang Puranjanang Sadriyag Itang Puranjanam Sadriyag Vashamaniya Vibramai Vashamaniya Vibramai Vashamaniya Vibramai Puranjani Maharaja Puranjani Maharaja Puranjani Maharaja Reme Ramayati Patim Reme Ramayati Patim Reme Ramayati Patim Narada Uvacha Itang Puranjanang Sadriyag Vashamaniya Vibramai Puranjani Maharaja Reme Ramayati Patim. Please chant.
Narada Uvacha. Itang Puranjanam Sadriyag. Vashamaniya Vibramai. Puranjani Maharaja.
Ladies,
Narada Uvacha,
Idanam sadryag. Vashamaniya vibramai. Paranjani maharaja. Ramayati patim. Anyone else? Itang puranjanang sadvyag vashamaniya vibramai puranjani maharaja reme ramayati patim narada uvacha. Narada said, itam, thus, puranjanam, King Puranjana, sadryak, completely, vashamaniya, bringing under her control, vibramai, by her charms, puranjani, the wife of King Puranjana. Maharaja, O King, Reme, enjoyed. Ramayati, giving all satisfaction. Patim, to her husband. Translation, if you could kindly respond accordingly. The great sage Narada continued. My dear King, after bewildering her husband in different ways and bringing him under her control, the wife of King Puranjana gave him all satisfaction and enjoyed sex life with him. Purport by His Divine Grace, ISKCON Founder Acharya, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. After hunting in the forest, King Puranjana returned home, and after refreshing himself by taking a bath and eating nice food, he searched for his wife. When he saw her lying down on the ground without a bed, as if neglected and devoid of any proper dress, he became very much aggrieved. He then became attracted to her and began to enjoy her company. A living entity is similarly engaged in the material world in sinful activities. These sinful activities may be compared to King Puranjan's hunting in the forest. A sinful life can be counteracted by various processes of religion, such as yajna, vrata, and dan, that is, the performance of sacrifices, the taking of a vow for some religious ritual, and the giving of charity. In this way, one may become free from the reactions of sinful life and at the same time awaken his original Krishna consciousness. By coming home, taking his bath, eating nice foodstuffs, getting refreshed and searching out his wife, King Puranjana came to his good consciousness in his family life. In other words, a systematic family life as enjoined in the Vedas is better than an irresponsible sinful life. If a husband and wife combine together in Krishna consciousness and live together peacefully, that is very nice. However, if a husband becomes too much attracted by his wife and forgets his duty in life, the implications of materialistic life will again resume. Srila Rupa Goswami has therefore recommended anasaktasya vishayan. Without being attached by sex, the husband and wife may live together for the advancement of spiritual life. The husband should engage in devotional service And the wife should be faithful and religious according to Vedic injunctions. Such a combination is very good. However, if the husband becomes too much attracted to the wife due to sex, the position becomes very dangerous. Women in general are very much sexually inclined. Indeed, it is said that a woman's sex desire is 9 times stronger than a man's. It is therefore a man's duty to keep a woman under his control by satisfying her, giving her ornaments, nice food and clothes, and engaging her in religious activities. Of course, a woman should have a few children and in this way not be disturbing to the man. Unfortunately, if the man becomes attracted to the woman simply for sex enjoyment, then family life becomes abominable. The great politician Chanakya Pandit has said, Bharya Rupavati Shatru, a beautiful wife is an enemy. Of course, every woman in the eyes of her husband is very beautiful. Others may see her as not very beautiful, but the husband, being very much attracted to her, sees her always as very beautiful. If the husband sees the wife as very beautiful, it is to be assumed that he is too much attached, If the husband sees the wife as very beautiful, it is to be assumed that he is too much attracted to her. This attraction is the attraction of sex. The whole world is captivated by the two modes of material nature, Rajoguna and Tamoguna, passion and ignorance. Generally, women are very much passionate and are less intelligent. Therefore, somehow or other, a man should not be under the control of their passion and ignorance. By performing bhakti yoga or devotional service, a man can be raised to the platform of goodness. If a husband, situated in the mode of goodness, can control his wife, who is in passion and ignorance, the woman is benefited. Forgetting her natural inclination for passion and ignorance, the woman becomes obedient and faithful to her husband, who is situated in goodness. Such a life becomes very welcome. The intelligence of the man and woman may then work very nicely together, and they can make a progressive march towards spiritual realization. Otherwise, the husband, coming under the control of the wife, sacrifices his quality of goodness and becomes subservient to the qualities of passion and ignorance. In this way, the whole situation becomes polluted. The conclusion is that a household life is better than a sinful life devoid of responsibility. But if in the household life the husband becomes subordinate to the wife, involvement in materialistic life again becomes prominent. In this way, a man's material bondage becomes enhanced. Because of this, according to the Vedic system, after a certain age, a man is recommended to abandon his family life for the stages of vanaprastha and sannyas. And that ends Prabhupada's purport to this first verse of chapter 27. Trinadapi sunichena tarori vasa hishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Hare nama hare nama hare nama iva kevalam glo nastyeva 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 gatir anyata. So, we are here because we want to become Krishna conscious. We have not joined this movement. We have not attended this class in order to advance in our material sense gratification. By coming to this movement, by hearing this class, We have made a declaration that we want to advance in Krishna consciousness. We have come to the conclusion that enjoying the senses is not the goal of life. We have understood that enjoying sense gratification is chewing that which has already been chewed. Whether you drink milk from an iron pot or a golden pot, the taste of the milk remains the same. Whether we enjoy sense gratification in 8 million species lower than human, or we enjoy sense gratification as a human or even as a demigod, the taste of sense gratification is the same, just as you do not change the taste of milk drinking in an iron or golden pot. Sense gratification is limited and temporary. But the need of the soul has a need. That need is eternal, unlimited enjoyment. Lord Chaitanya points out that this is what the living entity is hankering for. Every living entity. Every one of us, devotee, non-devotee, chanter, non-chanter, man, woman, everyone is looking for that taste, that happiness, which never ends and which increases at every moment. The problem is the conditioned soul in the material world is bewildered and confused and does not know where that eternal, unlimited happiness is. But when we come in contact with the Krishna consciousness movement, then we are informed. Yes, that happiness that you and me and everyone is searching for is there in the Krishna consciousness movement. It is there in Krishna. And it is centered around the chanting of Krishna's holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And this pleasure, this unlimited pleasure of spiritual bliss can be available at any time. There is no check. One can chant any time, place, circumstance. There is no restriction. Therefore, one who has actually understood this Krishna consciousness movement, then such a person takes to the chanting of Krishna's holy name as the main business of life, the topmost priority, and becomes very much addicted to chanting and learning and understanding everything there is about this process of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Therefore, such a person studies the four main books of the Krishna consciousness movement: Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and the Nectar of Devotion. These four books give one everything necessary so that one can chant the Hare Krishna mantra nicely, properly, perfectly. And by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, what is the result? Besides immersing oneself in an ocean of ecstasy, that is simply a preliminary residual benefit. The real goal of this chanting is that one falls completely in love with Krishna. That is the ultimate goal of this chanting, to fall completely in love with Krishna. We want to love. That is our natural position. We want to love someone. And when we come to the Krishna consciousness movement, it is nicely pointed out that you have been trying to love that which cannot properly reciprocate your love. The songs, the books, everything in the material world has recorded the actual fact that nobody is happy in this material world loving something other than Krishna. They say it in a daily basis. Practically, they are saying it at every moment. The politicians are saying it, but they don't know that they're saying it. The leaders, everyone, everywhere you go, every conversation that's taking place, ultimately boils down to they're reposing their love in something or someone, but that love is proving to be insufficient. And they don't know what to do. They're bewildered, miserable, fried, unhappy. But all we need to do is believe Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada said that you give your love to Krishna, then you'll be happy. That is the basic tenet of this Krishna consciousness movement. You learn how to love Krishna. Then and only then will you be actually happy. So it begins by believing, accepting what Srila Prabhupada is teaching. Simply try to love Krishna. And loving Krishna is natural. Loving Krishna is not a question of Hindu. Loving Krishna is not a question of being a man or a woman. Loving Krishna is the most natural thing. Why? Because each and every one of us is part and parcel of Krishna. We don't have any other origin. We don't have any other source of emanation. Just as the sun ray cannot be independent of the sun, they exist simultaneously. Similarly, you and I, everyone, we are eternally emanating as part and parcel of Krishna. Always, forever. Always in the past, at present, and in the future. It'll not be otherwise. Therefore, love of Krishna, as dictated by Lord Chaitanya, is lying in everyone's heart. It is not to be derived by any other foreign source. It's already there. It's simply lying dormant. We have simply forgotten. And this Krishna consciousness process, everything we're doing is simply to come to that platform where we can develop, nurture, foster this dormant love of Krishna that's already there. And this chanting of Krishna's name makes it possible. Love of God, love of Krishna, this is the ultimate fruit of chanting. All the Vedas are teaching simply three things. That you have an eternal relationship with Krishna. And there is a process by which that relationship with Krishna is reawakened. And basically that process is the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. And the full result of chanting this Hare Krishna mantra is that one's dormant love for Krishna is awakened. So, I want to take to this process of chanting Hare Krishna very seriously, quickly, nicely, properly. Otherwise, I'm still going to be experiencing the burning in the heart. Because every one of us, we're looking where to love. At every second. And Krishna consciousness is teaching us, just try to love Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So let's have some discussion for today. Yes, please. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Thank you for inspiring class. My comment is on the part, not that you said, but about the part that you read. There's this ongoing thing in this moment that women are less intelligent, women are less intelligent, over and over. And I find that preposterous, personally, as someone who is highly educated and has run international companies before and dealt with men and women in different levels all my life. I know this not to be true. Psychology is my minor. And I have given and taken IQ tests. And if we bring men's approach IQ tests to everyone here, there will be a number of women scoring higher than men. We can prove that scientifically. And Archita Prabhu had answered that comment one time before because this came, the issue came up again. And he said, you know, you can all be medical doctors and attorneys. You can be smarter than, you know, materially smarter than men. But we're talking about spiritual intelligence and women tend to be more nurturing and want to have children and they want to, you know, gather things and have a house and things like that as opposed to men can be more detached. Well, we all know man can be more detached, but that's not like necessarily so much being unselfish and being more giving and more nurturing and, you know, more admirable necessarily. But we keep saying like women to go through this much sacrifice, and especially in third world countries, they've been oppressed so much that the men that keep bashing the women don't even know that women can be even smarter and they don't even know their potential because these women never got a chance. They were never even given a chance to show their potential and their intelligence and their multitasking and other things. They were oppressed. They do everything that men do. If the man is a fisherman, the woman does the fisherwoman thing, and the man is in construction, she carries bricks on her back. I mean, even in no education level jobs. So women do everything that men do, and we may have a female president soon. Where I come from in Turkey, we had a female prime minister. So women do everything that men do. On top of that, they give birth, they breastfeed, they nurture. And there is this inferiority complex, let's bash the women so we feel better about ourselves all the time. And the women are meek and they say, okay, maybe we're not really smarter, so let's live up to that role. This is not fair. And also on top of that, if we are really to believe that we are not this body, this blows the whole purpose of what we've been being taught all this time, because all of us have been men and women many, many, many times in the thousands of years past. So we're not this body, so what is then you're the spirit soul, so what is the difference? What is it that you're as a woman can do this, I can, as a man can think like this? And we brought this issue one more time. There was one person visiting us, and he talked about sex and sex attraction. And finally, after the class, I told him, why are we always talking about sex? I never thought this much about sex in my entire life before I came to this moment, because we're always talking about sex and sex attraction. And he said, well, as a girl, maybe, you know, you're an educated person, you may not be thinking like that, but if you could be a man just for 10 minutes, you would be scared. If you just think like a man for 10 minutes, you would be staying away from all the guys for a long, long time. You would be walking away from the guys. The way guy thinks is you cannot comprehend as a girl. So he has admitted to that actually, I'm not even going to go into the, like, women have 9 times more sexual intensity than men do. I'm not even going to go into that. But I read the statistics just in the United States. 250 rapes a day are being reported. These are the only reported ones. There's more than that, not even reported, because girls are too ashamed or scared to even report it. So millions of rapes are going around on the planet done by men. And these people go around and saying, well, we're more intellectual than girls. Girls just want to have sex. Well, what? So many people have been ruined completely, entire lives devastated because of this ongoing rape, and it's not getting any less. This is not something women are doing. So I'm like kind of tired of this women bashing thing, and we have to sit down and take it. And when we do devotional services, nobody says, oh, you're a woman, so you're not as intelligent. You don't have to do this. We do everything that guys do. So why is it that we're getting bashed all the time? What is this? It's just, I take offense in that, and this is not true. In even the spiritual sense or in material world sense, because before I came to this moment, I still had a strong connection with God. I read the Bible, the Quran, the Torah, Buddha's teachings. I prayed and I got answers. So this is a faster way to get to where we need to get to. I'm aware of that. That's why I'm here. But you can still connect with God. You don't know people's connections with God. It's a very personal thing. So I just would like you to comment on that with all due respect. Thank you.
That's quite a lot to comment on.
That's fine.
My comment is as follows. I consider myself less intelligent. When I came to this movement, I accepted whatever Prabhupada has said or read or written or spoke. To me, I just accept. Whether or not it tallies with my own limited brain, I don't care about it. My only purpose is to develop love of God. So when I read in, like we read today, Prabhupada is saying many things, I don't question it. I don't doubt it. I just accept it. And I see many places where you could say, because you're using this term, women bashing, I find many places where there's men bashing. But I just accept it. And call me what you like. I love these Bhaktivedanta purports. And I accept them as they are. I don't worry about it. I accept it. I work with it. And it has been my experience that by being submissive and accepting of what Prabhupada is saying, I've gotten this far. I'm 57 years old, and I'm still chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. And I'm still progressing somehow or other in Krishna consciousness. So my comment is, just accept what Prabhupada is giving and try to understand how it is. Try to see it. Otherwise, chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Anything else? Okay. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
You're welcome.